I want to invite you this morning to take your copy of God's Word and open to the book of the Psalms, the praise book of the Scriptures. Psalms chapter 92, the hymn book, if you will. Hymn book, praise book, book of worship. Psalm chapter 92, I want us to read verses 12 through verse 15. As we begin to think about growing old gracefully, I want us to read those four verses, verses 12 through 15. Let's stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. And as we stand and read, be mindful that these are God's words. I read from the English Standard Version of the Bible. It's the version that I use. You follow along in the version that you use. And following this, I invite you to pray with me. If the Lord gives you grace, I like to get low and ask God to work in an awesome way as we get into His Word. And I invite you to get low with me if the Lord gives you the grace to do so. Psalm chapter 92, verse 12 and following. The psalmist says, "The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. To declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him." Would you pray with me? Father, we want to be a people of righteousness. Lord, a people that so exudes the character of God and the steadfast love of God that You are our rock, that You are our foundation, that there is no unrighteousness in You. You're the one who provides for us, that meets all of our needs. And Lord, You are the one who in Christ has met our greatest need of salvation. And Father, as we talk about issues, as we think about Senior Adult Sunday today, Lord, we realize that if it be by Your will and by Your grace that we all might get to enjoy senior adulthood. But Lord, in doing so, God, we want to thrive in it. So Lord, just as the psalmist speaks of this senior who thrives because of who You are in them, Lord, would You make in us that kind of heart that You get all the glory. And when You start, even today, no matter how old we are. Lord, give me grace to preach, to point to who You are. Lord, I pray Your Holy Spirit would feel free to not only live in us, but move amongst us and change us. And Lord, move us toward Christ-likeness. Father, for those who are lost, I pray for their salvation even now. Lord, I pray that the words I speak might be Your words and nothing less. Guard Your hearers from hearing anything that isn't of You. And magnify Yourself in Your Word, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. Lillian was this beautiful little four-year-old little girl who was the great pride of her parents, but even a greater pride of her grandparents. As so many have said, seniors who said if they knew how wonderful grandchildren were, they would have had them first. And as having children myself, I'm looking forward to that time when we get to enjoy grandchildren. But Lillian had gone over to her grandparents' house, as she did very often. And one day, this little four-year-old girl climbed up in her grandfather's lap, and sitting in his lap, in his favorite chair, she took her little four-year-old little hands and just kind of cradled his face and examined it. A face that had grown quite wrinkled with old age, a head that had particularly balding at the time. And she asked, "Grandpa, did God make you?" And Grandpa smiled and said, "Oh yes, sweetheart, God did. God made me." And Lillian looked for a little bit longer and she said, "Well, Grandpa, I think God's doing a better job today than He used to do." It's aging is hard on us, isn't it? It is hard on us physically. I got tickled at something I read that Jeff Foxworthy said about how to know that you're growing older. He said, you know you're growing older when you quit trying to hold your stomach in no matter who walks in the room. He also said, you know you're getting older when people ask what color your hair used to be, and that you know you're getting older when you no longer know the signs of whether that gal or whether that guy likes you, but you're very familiar with the warning signs of a heart attack and a stroke. So that's helpful. Aging is hard on us. It's hard on us because as we age, we are on this constant downward decline physically. We're moving from strength to weakness, aren't we? We're moving from youthfulness and beauty to something else, right? We're moving to something else. And I'm very familiar, I guess I'm very aware of that downward decline this year, because this year I turned 40. You know, this is kind of one of the big ones. Now, some of you goes, "Ah, you're still a young snip whippersnapper." Well, I get it, but I want you to know I'm starting to feel age, and I'm starting to feel like grandpa with hair either turns gray or it turns loose. It just doesn't hang in there. It used to be that I could just run weight off. I mean, it would just run. I'd run a few miles and I'd lose 10 pounds. It was awesome. Now it sticks to me like super glue. I can't get it. And my joints used to be just so well oiled and just, they work like a well oiled machine, and now they creak. And does anybody else struggle with that? I mean, we're just on this downward decline. And as I entitled the sermon, "Growing Old Gracefully," my entire life I have heard that we are supposed to grow old gracefully. To which I ask, how in the world do you grow old gracefully? I'm falling apart at the seams. And we're supposed to grow gracefully into age. So I kind of asked that question as I went to the Word of God this week. And here's what I think growing old gracefully means. As we look at this word, what we're going to see is that while aging does something to us physically, it sends us on that downward decline physically, that aging should do something very different spiritually for the child of God. That while we are on a physical decline, we are on a spiritual incline. Y'all catch that? That while physically we're kind of going down a road we don't really want to go down, that it should be inverted spiritually for the child of God, that we should be growing in grace. As we age, we grow up in grace very differently than we grow old in age, in body. Charles Spurgeon, one of my heroes, pointed that out in one of his books. He said this, the fact being that, like the natural life, the spiritual life does not conclude in declining strength and inevitable decrepitude, but continues its progress even beyond the grave. We go from, I love this, not from strength to weakness. He says, we go from strength to strength, not from strength to weakness. The old age of grace is maturity, not decay. Advancement, not decline. Old age goes down to death, but ripe grace ascends to everlasting life. And he says, this is my prayer. Listen to his prayer as he ages. Lord, let me grow ripe, but not rotten, maturing, but not decaying, for thy glory's sake. Senior adults, would that be your prayer? Young people, would that be your prayer? Because I'm going to tell you, growing old is inevitable. If the Lord gives you grace to do that. Right? And so that needs to be our prayer. And as we think about growing gracefully, that's what we need to be thinking about. It's that, yes, we're on this decline, but spiritually we're on this incline. And the Word of God here helps us see what should be true of the senior adult child of God. We should be growing in grace as we age physically. Look at verse 12 and following here. He says, the righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. It's a great, mighty tree. And so it says they should thrive. They should grow. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. So you get this picture of the righteous who are growing older, and as they grow older, what are they doing? They're flourishing. They're flourishing like the mightiest of the trees and the most beautiful of the trees. And in flourishing, watch this, they are bearing fruit even though they are past what would be considered fruit-bearing age. And that's remarkable. No, that's supernatural. Again, look at this picture. Even though they are of old age, they are full of sap. They are green, even though they're old. He's pointing to signs of youthfulness, signs of life, signs of vitality. So we have to ask the question, how do we have that? As we decline physically, how do we preserve youth and vitality and life? Well, we look in the clues in this text, and it gives us some. The psalmist says, well, it has a lot to do with where you're rooted. He says, they are planted in the house of the Lord, in the courts of our God. You see that? He says, you can't grow up in grace unless you're rooted in God. And you can't be rooted in God unless you're planted in Christ. And this text is going to show us that those who are planted in Christ will flower in praise. All right, that's the key. Where do you get life? Where do you get vitality even as physically you grow older and more decrepit and you struggle physically? You get that. Seniors that have life and vitality and are full of sap and green and are still on the move for God and make a significant difference in the kingdom even while they are growing older, here's why they do it. They never forget the appropriateness of praise to our God. They never forget to praise. They always know, no matter how old I am, no matter how bad I feel, no matter how bad my eyes get, no matter how bad my legs get, my joints get, my back gets, we could go a long time doing that, I know. But no matter how bad it gets, God is always worthy of my praise. He's always worthy of my life. He's always worthy of all that I am to glorify all that He is. And that's what the beginning of this passage points to as it kind of brings all of this to a crescendo in verses 12 through 15. Look at verse 1. He says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Now, the word good there is a very particular word in Hebrew. It means fitting. It means appropriate. It means that it is right, and it is only appropriate for God to get the glory. To do what? To declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night to the music of the lute and to the harp, to the melody of the lyre. It's one of the reasons I was so happy that Brother Bob sang. Because that's what this text says that seniors do. They sing. They praise. Instruments are played, I guess, if they can still play them, to the glory of God, declaring His steadfast love. People that grow in grace grow in their addiction to praise. You notice that He says when they praise? Look at this. To declare your steadfast praise when? In the morning and your faithfulness by night. They just praise. It is always appropriate. If it's in the morning, should you do your quiet time in the morning or should you do your quiet time at night? And the psalmist says, you should talk to God all the time. You should praise all the time. You should be thinking about God all the time. And yeah, is it appropriate in the morning? Yes. Is it appropriate at night? Yes. When is it not appropriate to glorify the King of Kings? And so that's what the psalmist says. And seniors that capture that, seniors that thrive, they capture that truth. My mama Annie, my mama Bumpus, we call her. She died the week I moved to Mount Gilead, and I had to stop in the midst of the move to do her funeral. She's a woman of God. Matter of fact, she helped lead music in her little church for years and years, and she had a beautiful voice, but much more beautiful than her voice. She had a beautiful heart for God. And I can just remember her when we go to see her in State Line, Mississippi, right on the state line of Mississippi and Alabama. And being over, they didn't have much money. Both my parents grew up dirt poor. And my mom told many stories. You know, we'd go see her over at her house. And I'm telling you, she didn't have much of anything. that she'd be in the kitchen cooking or just doing something around the house, and I can still remember her humming, singing, just loud enough that I could tell what it was. Oh, how I love Jesus. Now, I can't sing it like she could. I can't sing it at all. But I pray that my heart would just line up with hers. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. And she would sing, and she would sing that. She'd sing Amazing Grace. And she knew hymn after hymn after hymn. And it was just a song that lived in her soul. Until the day that she went home to be with Jesus, she had a spirit that could lift anyone around her. A faith that was remarkable. I think of her as I read this particular text, thinking about the life, the secret to a life bubbling with fruitfulness and vitality. It's a life full of praise. Even when your body's going south, even when you want to complain, even when it's the fleshly, driving, maybe popular thing to do. I was thinking about that this week. You know, I know what young people gossip about. You know, and I know what folks kind of middle-aged, my age gossip about. And I just kind of wondered what senior adults gossip about. And I say gossip, you know, kind of talk, just kind of, but my guess is they might be complaining about how they feel. Right? Y'all don't do that, do you? Do you every now and then? I'm just guessing. And I'm also guessing God doesn't like it. Because we're taking the valuable time that we have on this earth to complain about what we want instead of complaining about what we have in Christ. And so the psalmist is not there. The psalmist says, look, whether it's morning, whether it's night, no matter what we're doing, we're praising the Lord. And why? You know, what do we have to praise the Lord for? What don't we have to praise the Lord for, really? I don't have a lot of time. I didn't want to preach a long message this morning because I wanted Brother Bob to take as much time as he wanted. But as I'm going to point to the first part of this passage. The first part of this passage, it says, look, we praise the Lord because of His great work. Because of what God has done. Look at verse 4 and 5. The psalmist says, for You, O Lord, have made me glad by Your work, at the works of Your hands. I sing for joy. How great are Your works, O Lord. The psalmist can't get past what God has done. His display of who He is based on what He has done. And as I look for Scripture, so many places you can go with this. There's some basic ones here. First of all, creation. If you're looking for something to praise the Lord for, just open your eyes. Look around. Look what God has created, and you will hear a song. The Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim His handiwork, the work of His hands. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. You look at the pine trees, you look at the stars, you look at the moon, you look at the planets, you look at the sun, you look at the grass, it's all got a song in its heart. It was all created to bring glory to God. It is magnificent to see what God has made. And anyone who cannot see that is a lunatic. They're blind, the Bible says. I love this quote I read about Ronald Reagan. He said, sometimes when I'm faced with an atheist, he said, I'm tempted to invite him to the finest, most gourmet dinner that anyone could serve. And when we finished eating that magnificent dinner, to ask him if he believes there's a cook or not. And, you know, I just love that. Because that's what we're doing. We're living and tasting the goodness of God in just breathing. In our hearts beating. In experiencing the world that God has created for us to enjoy. The psalmist says in Psalm 8 verse 3, when I look at Your heavens, the work of Your fingers, the moon and the stars which You have set in place. In other words, when you go outside and you look at the sky, he asks this question. What is man that You are mindful of him? and the Son of Man, that You take care of him. Do that tonight. Just go outside and look. I do this constantly. I kind of know where stuff is now, and this guy's kind of a hobby of mine. And I just look, wow, there's Mars, there's Jupiter, there's Venus, it's Big Dipper, Orion. Wow. And that's just what we see in the Milky Way. There's hundreds, millions of planets with hundreds of millions of stars in each. And God gave us this to enjoy, for Him to enjoy, so we could enjoy something of His greatness, of His character. I kind of feel like Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown and Lucy were gazing up at the night sky, and Charlie Brown just kind of stopped. He looked at Lucy and he said, "Lucy, let's go watch TV. I'm feeling a bit insignificant." Man, you just can't look at what God has made and not feel small. And here's why. Because we are small. We are tiny. We are insignificant. The psalmist says we are but dust. Yet God loves us. God cares for us. What is man that He'd be mindful of us? That He would take care of our needs. That He would care for us. And seniors, there's something about seniors that as they grow and as they mature, they realize that just by the fact that God created them and now they can enjoy Him in what He has created, that is a gift of God. I pray that maturity teaches me that all the more. Not only creation do we have to praise God's works for, but also His providence. Providence. What is the providence of God? What do we mean by that? We mean that God will provide for the needs of His children all of the time. Seniors who flourish in praise live in that confidence. They know that God provides. They have the confidence of Abraham. When Abraham was being tested with Isaac to take his son up on Mount Moriah and then sacrifice his son, Isaac asked the question, "Hey, you know, he's kind of checking things out. We got the wood, we got the fire, we got the knife. Hey, Dad, what we don't have is the lamb." And Abraham's response is, and Abraham knows what he's being called to do. "God will provide Himself the lamb for the burnt sacrifice, my son." That's Abraham saying, "I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how the covenant that God gave to me is going to be fleshed out if I kill my son. And I know that's what God is calling me to do, sacrifice him on the altar, my beloved, the one through which the covenant is supposed to be fulfilled. I don't know how this is going to work out, but here's what I do know. It's going to work out because God's God. I trust Him. God will provide the lamb. God will meet the needs. God is going to work it. It's going to work it out." You need to know that, church. See, young people, you need to know that. It'll change your life from this point on if you can live with the confidence of God's got it covered because I'm His child. And no, you might not get all your greeds met, but you're going to get all your needs met. And God's got this awesome plan He fashioned you particularly for to bring Him glory. Hey, you know He feeds the birds. Do you know He feeds the birds? "Well, yeah, bro, is that supposed to be significant to me?" Yes, it is! It's supposed to be real significant to you. Matthew 6:26. "Look at the birds of the air," Jesus says. "They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they?" The answer to that question is yes, you are. Adults, the answer to that question is yes, you are. You're made in the image of God. My dad told me this story one day years ago. He said he was in college and he was at Mississippi State University and he had missed this class because he was sick. And like I said, they grew up really poor and didn't have hardly any money. And he had this terrible cold and he couldn't breathe. He was just coughing terribly. And so he had missed class. He was laying in bed, high fever, and not enough money for medicine. And so he's just laying there and all of a sudden he hears a knock at the door. He said he could hardly move. By the time he got around to getting up and opening the door, there was no one there. But on the door was hanging one of those big samples of Tylenol. Not Tylenol, of NyQuil. You know, apparently they'd go and were handing them out and you know, trying to get you to buy exactly what he needed. Isn't that what God does for his children? He knows exactly what you need. He knows right where you are, and he gets it to you at the perfect time. There's something about seniors that understand this. And I love being around seniors because they do get that. Because they've got story after story after story of God meeting them right in the midst of their need. And so they praise constantly, addictively, because their God, our God, is worthy of it. So we talked about creation as a reason to praise the work of God. Providence is a reason to praise the work of God. But the greatest reason to praise the work of God is redemption. And seniors understand that God has done a work of bringing a Savior to do what we could not do, to live perfectly righteous on our behalf, to die in our place, to absorb the wrath of God so that we might enjoy His life forevermore. And what I see as I grow, and y'all may have to teach me this a little bit more, but typically the younger we are, the less apt we are to see the severity and depthness of our sin. And the younger we are, the more apt we are to feel that we are going to live forever. And that tends, both of those tend to fade the older we tend to get, especially in Christ, because seniors are in the position, senior citizens are in the position that maybe they most clearly see what the Bible says very clearly, that life is but a vapor, that life is but a mist, that it's here today and gone tomorrow. I had a discussion this week with a guy that was talking about his son that had was just yesterday, was Noah's age, and now he's graduating, playing ball and now graduating. He said, I don't know where it went. I just don't know where it went. And I got to think that about Noah. It was yesterday that he was born. You know, where did the last 10 years go? Anybody ask that question? And seniors, they get it because they can look back and go, man, it was that fast. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. You're young. You're youthful. You're vibrant. It's going to feel like tomorrow you're laying on your deathbed. And when you're laying on your deathbed, I want you to know right now, the greatest reason you will have to praise is not because God got you NyQuil when you were sick, but because He sent His Son to forgive you of your sin, to die in your place, to give you life forevermore. And so the praise, I went through and I looked at a number of different deathbed words that were said by fairly famous Christians. For instance, President George Washington, well-known Christian, reported saying on his deathbed at 67, Doctor, I'm dying, but I'm not afraid to die. He folded his hands over his chest and said, it is well. David Brainerd, well-known missionary to the Native American Indians in the 18th century, reported as saying in some of his dying words, I am going to eternity, and it is sweet of me. It is sweet to me to think of eternity. My hero, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, of whom I've already quoted this morning, he was a 19th century particular Baptist preaching in London. On his deathbed at age 57, he's reported as uttered these words. I can hear them coming. Don't you hear them? This is my coronation day. I can see the chariots. I am ready to board. And then the great apostle Paul, on some of his dying words in 2 Timothy 4:6-8, he says this, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. That's him. That's his way of saying, I'm dying already. This is it. And the time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also all who have loved His appearing. That's you. If you know Jesus, that's me, no matter what age you are. You see, the nearer death seems, the sweeter the gospel tastes. And seniors are in the position of tasting the gospel in a very sweet way, because the more the sun begins to go down on this life and the darkness of death begins to loom, the brighter the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ begins to shine. And because seniors know that they are closer than to that day, or at least it feels closer to, no one knows when they're going to die. It feels closer to that day for them than it does for those of us that are younger than them. The gospel tastes so very sweet. And the gospel that tastes sweet on their tongue is joyful in its praise. Addicted to praise because of who He is. So, the most important question I guess I can ask you, senior adults, is this. Are you growing in grace as you're declining in age? Do you know that Savior? Do you know that Lord is praise uttering off your lips? As you're growing, as Spurgeon said, physically rotten, are you growing spiritually ripe? I pray that you are. Because that's the kind of examples that we need. That's the kind of examples that these young people need. That's the kind of examples that us middle-aged folks need. That's the kind of examples that we need. We need you to be the example of what it means to die for the glory of God. We need you to be the example of what it means to live as the curtain comes down for the glory of God. Is that what you're doing? Or do you spend more of your time complaining about the aches than the grace? Are you being used by God? Is it true? The idea of having sap and green and bearing fruit. Are you in service for God? Or do you kind of have the attitude that says, no, I've done my time. I can check out. You can't check out. There is no retirement for the Christian. You live forever for the glory of God. And so if you kind of have those attitudes, you might be saying, you know what? Well, maybe I'm not as sappy as I need to be. Maybe I'm not as green. Maybe I'm not bearing fruit. And if you're not, here's why. Because you're no longer as addicted to praise as you should be. Love God. Let Him fill your heart with His grace. Grow in grace even as your body grows in age. For His glory. Be an example for us to follow. Maybe you're here and you don't know Christ. Maybe you're a senior adult and you don't know Christ. That happens. You need to be redeemed. If you do not know Him as your Savior, as your Lord, maybe you've been in church your entire life, yet you know you don't have a relationship with Him. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Would you turn from sin? Would you trust in Him? I'm going to ask you whether you're a member of the church or not. I know without a shadow of a doubt that many, many, many members of Mount Gilead Baptist Church are lost and headed for an eternity of hell. Okay, I don't want that for you. Turn from sin, put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what age you are. And you'll find that as you grow this way in age, you will grow this way for the glory of God. Father, I pray now that You will not leave us where we are, but Lord, You would mature us in righteousness, no matter what age we are. Father, I pray for our seniors that they would thrive. Lord, I pray for their health. I pray that You make them strong. Lord, but we know that lest the Lord Jesus comes back first, that we're all going to go the way of a physical death. But Lord, I pray that a physical death will be nothing more than a moving day for our spirits that move from here to the very presence of the Almighty. Father, I pray now that those that do not know You, that they would meet You this morning.